Amen. If you will, be opening your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 will be in this chapter. It is a joy to be with you, as I told the folks in Sunday school. And I mentioned this little Blessed Promise book in Sunday school. It's loaded with scriptures under different topics to help you in dealing with others. And they make wonderful gifts to give people, but it's got help from the Bible for all kinds of areas. Scripture after scriptures, help from the Bible when you're angry, with covetousness, depression, for impatience, given to jealousy during the loss of loved ones, with injured pride during personal sorrow, during times of temptation and time of trouble, when you need wisdom, and what the Bible says about different topics, and it covers them all the way through the alphabet, just about, down to the W anyway, in what the Bible is. And blessings promised to believers and what the believer is in Christ and God's great commission, God's great salvation. You can lead somebody to Christ with these scriptures here that it has under the plan of salvation. And if you're interested, they sell for $10, but they're $5 when I sell them. So if you're interested after the service, just see my wife out at the table and we have them there. Now, we're in the Bearing Precious Seed work, which, as I said in Sunday school, in teaching on it, it's essentially Baptist publishing scriptures. And we're printing the Bible because we have the world has need for the Word of God. And we've got requests for over 300 million scriptures from missionaries and national pastors around the world begging for the Word of God. Every year in Bearing Precious Seed, at our church, we have what's called National Bible Publishing Month, and we encourage other churches to do that. Our greatest need is for paper, and it takes large rolls of paper to run our big presses. And we had a $2 million press that we could run up to 50 million scriptures a year on if we had the funds to do so. But we just added a press that can do 100 million scriptures a year, another $2 million press, and this one is amazing what all it can do. And we're going to do the John Romans on one and the New Testament and the Bible on the other because we don't have to do a lot of changeover when we go from one to the other, and we can just run both presses for these areas. But adding this new press, we just really need to feed that thing paper. And a big roll of paper costs from $1,000 to $1,500. And our truckloads of paper for just the John Romans and New Testaments usually costs us around $26,000 a truckload. And for the Bible, around $36,000 a truckload. And we used to get them for $20,000 and $26,000, but cost has gone sky high lately with paper. But this year, we're working every year in National Bible Publishing Month. Among all the countries we help, we emphasize 4 to 6 countries where the need is tremendous and souls are being saved in by the thousands. And one of those places is Grenada. Back in 1983, the United States went into Grenada and freed them from the Cubans and the Russians and the Bulgarians and some from a country in Africa, communist country that were Libya, that were influencing this country to become a communist country. And 5 Caribbean nations let us know in the United States that this country really didn't want that. And the Caribbean nations didn't want that because they were scared it might spread. So we went in there and won a victory really fast and freed these people. And they love America. But missionaries didn't go in there right away and do anything. But since they have started going in the last few years, thousands have been saved, and they're begging for Bibles. There's only 112,723 people in Grenada on that Caribbean island in the Lesser Antilles. And but they are getting saved right and left, and they're begging for Bibles. And we want to put in 20,000 right away there. And they speak English. And in Malawi, they speak the Chichewa language. Up until 2 years ago, they had nothing in the Chichewa language. They had never had the Bible in their language in the history of the world. And we went in and translated the John and Romans because they're two good salvation books and two good doctrine books. And the missionaries can do a lot with those two books with people that have just been saved. And so we do the John Romans. And so many people got saved, so many people wanting more of the Word of God to learn after they got saved, that we finally, this year, got the whole New Testament done. And they're just crazy about getting the New Testament now to learn more about their Lord. And we hope in the next few years to have the whole Bible for them, because our translators working day and night to get this done. And Chichewa is a Bantu language. They not only speak it in Malawi, they speak it in Zimbabwe and in Zambia and Mozambique. And 8.63 million people speak this language. And there's thousands being saved, and they need more New Testaments and more John Romans. And we hope to do some 40,000. And then in Togo, a French-speaking country. Now, Malawi is in East Africa. Togo is in West Africa. And get this, 8.82 million people speak French in that country, but they're three-fourths of the population is 29 years old and under. It's one of the youngest countries in the whole world. And they have worshipped voodoo, they worship crocodile gods, they worship anacondas, they worshipped all kinds of things. They worship statues. But these young people that are 29 and younger are tired of the old ways. And they want a God that loves them. And when they've been introduced to Christ, they come to Christ in droves. And the missionaries there are begging us for 20,000 Bibles immediately. So Togo is an area where many are being saved. And then Oaxaca, Mexico. That's a state in Mexico. 4 million people in that state. And it's spelled O-A-X-A-C-A. How they pronounce it, Oaxaca, is different. But anyway, that's Spanish. And we have missionaries out of our church there and other sister churches that are pleading for scriptures because they're having thousands saved in their meetings there and planting churches. And they need 20,000 whole Bibles. And then we're also working in India. In southern India, 265 million people speak the Kannada language. Up until 10 years ago, they didn't have one word in Kannada. The pastors there would take the English Bible, because in India, the second language is English, and they would read from the English Bible and translate it into their language. Well, they didn't always get it right when they translated it. And so we started working. We did the John Romans, and then we did the New Testament, the whole Bible. There's 2 million independent Baptists now saved in that country and churches planted. But there's 265 million there, and they want to reach more and more. And they need, we've sent them thousands of Bibles already, but they need 20,000 more immediately. And then in northern India, that's in southern India, in northern India, there's a little area up there where they speak the Thado language, T-H-A-D-O-U, Thado. And the countries around there are Nepal and Bangladesh and Bhutan and Myanmar and China. And when we first went into that area of India and by invitation and preached, we had thousands come to Christ in the meetings there. And God just blessed. But 50 of those wanted to be preachers. And so we started a Bible college there. And Bearing Precious Seed did and trained these people. It's still there training. And they started 50 churches. But now after 10 years of them having the Bible, there are 2,000 independent Baptist churches there. It's the fastest area of growth of independent Baptist churches in the world today, according to missionaries and national pastors, tell us that. But some of these people from China and Bhutan and Nepal and Bangladesh and Myanmar, which used to be Burma, have married Indian people that speak the Tuttle language. But their burden now for their people in Nepal and in China and in Bhutan and in Bangladesh and Myanmar, and they're going back to their countries planting churches. And now there's churches being planted all up and down the Himalayas over in China where we can't go, and where these people can get back to their places where they came from and the people they're burdened for. And so God is doing some great things, and we need to get another 20,000 whole Bibles in there. So pray for us. We try to get churches every year to participate and take a month out of their schedule and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ by giving to get out the Word of God. And we do that every year at our church, and our people give out of their pockets to get the Word of God out. And I don't think there's anything better that you can do than to give to publish the Word and get it to people who otherwise never would have it. And folks are desperately need the Word of God. Now, in Luke chapter 5, and please pray about your church becoming a church that does national Bible publishing every year. I was just in a little church way out in the country. They didn't have as many people as you have today. And they shocked me by giving $36,300 and something in their month of participating. And they're just country folk. And I'm a Georgia boy, and I'm country folk, though I live in Ohio. And my wife's from South Carolina. I had to go across the river to find her. But it was worth it. Amen. We've been married 56 years now. And this month is our 56th anniversary month, and we're so happy to be here with my good friend Gary Holland and his precious wife and family. And boy, I enjoyed the music today. Doesn't Brother Holland's son do such a good job? And I'm telling you, and I enjoyed the choir and the instrumentalists. Boy, this is a blessing you have here in this place. And I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. I had problems sitting still, really. But you seem cool, collected, and calm. I'm from part of Georgia, Augusta area, and we get a little happy up there. But you just stay cool, calm, and collected, be all right. But Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You'll notice Jesus is always teaching, always teaching. There's so much to learn from our Lord. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Ooh, I'd like to have been on that fishing trip. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, Father, would you bless your word today? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto us? And would you not let people be distracted by the devil and his forces who would love to get their minds on food and other things that are pressing today? And Lord, when people come to church, a lot of us are hurting. A lot of us have bodies that are racked with pain, and a lot of us have other things that could control our minds. But Lord, I pray today that you'd help us to have our minds stayed upon thee, where you could keep us in perfect peace. And Lord, we sure love you. And I pray if there's anyone here lost today, that today the Holy Spirit of God would prick their heart and they'd come and be gloriously saved, where they could enjoy a home in heaven, where they can enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to hearts. May we Christians be stirred to Christ-likeness. Lord, we don't have long to live for you. Some of us are getting up in age, and we don't know how much longer we've got. But I've seen a lot of young people go out to meet the Lord, too, and a lot of young families. And so, Lord, I pray today we'd take advantage of our time and make it profitable for you and your glory, that when we stand before you, we might hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," instead of "thy slothful, lazy servant." So have your will and way, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this chapter here in Luke, I want to preach on partnership this morning. Partnership. They beckoned to the partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. There's just some jobs that are too big for one person or one group. And, partnership has its roots in the Trinity. God said, "Let us make man in our image." So there was partnership in creation. You think in Moses' day, there was a partnership. Moses, Israel was fighting the Amalekites, and Moses held his hands high. And while his hands were raised high, there was victory. But Moses tired, and his hands began to come down, and they began to lose in the battle. And so Aaron got on one side, Hur on the other. They got a stone for Moses to sit on, and they held his hands up and wrought a great victory that day because of partnership. You think in David's day, he had his mighty men. They won victory after victory after victory because they partnered together with David to get the job done against the enemy. In our Lord Jesus' day, even in his first miracle, there was a partnership in turning the water into the grape juice, into the wine. It's funny. He asked these men to take these big water pots and fill them with water. And they could have thought, "Now, wait a minute, that is not the way you do making of the grapes and the wine. You do the purple foot method, and you stomp around in a vat all over the place in that vat, and you get nice, pretty purple feet, and women paint their toenails all kind of colors these days." But anyway, they had the purple feet, but they could have thought to themselves, "Now, wait a minute, if we bear this to the governor of the feast, we're going to look like fools. It's water." But regardless of what they thought, they obeyed. And in the midst of their obedience, the governor of the feast said, in essence, "You've saved the best for last. This is better than anything." Usually they save the worst for last. You know, that's what the devil does. He makes it all look good in the beginning, and then it gets worse and worse. Our Lord Jesus, it just gets better and better and better. And one day we're going to sit down with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we won't have to worry about getting fat. I used to lift weights, now I just carry it around with me. But I tell you, we'll just have the best time and being with our Lord. They bore to the governor of feast. In the midst of their obedience, a miracle took place. Now get this, miracles don't take place with people that are disobedient. Miracles take place with obedient people. And in all of Jesus' miracles, there was obedience taking place when he used people. Now, in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus blessed and broke the bread, but he did not feed anybody. He let his disciples enjoy that blessing. And they took out 12 full baskets after he blessed and broke the bread. And then they came back with 12 full baskets. Now, that's something to do, feeding 5,000 men besides all the women and children. And they obeyed, and a miracle took place as they fed. Because they could have thought to themselves, "We got all these people here, and 12 baskets not going to get the job done." But 12 baskets, when our Lord blesses it, gets the job done. Little as much when God's in it. Amen? And then in the incarnation, the Holy Spirit and Mary gave us the Christ child in our Lord Jesus. there was a partnership in the incarnation between the Holy Spirit and Mary. And in inspiration, there was partnership. 42 men on three different continents over 1,600 years gave us our Bible without error. And that's amazing. Somebody said the greatest thing God ever did was creation, but that only took 6 days. Someone else said, well, the incarnation's the greatest thing God ever did, but that only took 9 months. But the inspiration, 42 men, three different continents, 1,600 years, gave us our Bible. And we wouldn't know about the virgin birth. We wouldn't know about creation. We wouldn't know all that we know if we didn't have this book. And so I believe that's the greatest thing our God's ever done, though the others are great too. And then in intercession, there is partnership, praying for one another. You know, at our church, we have a book, and in that book are pictures of all our people. And we get to look at them and pray over them because we want to know our people and we want to pray for our people. And, you know, if you're in this church, you ought to love each other enough to pray for each other. And there's been people in this auditorium right now, and as the pastor mentioned earlier, that really needed prayer. And intercession, praying one for another, is one of the greatest things you could ever do for each other. You'll get more answers to prayers, your own prayers, when you're more concerned about other people and praying for them. And you'll see some wonderful things happen. And so there's a partnership in intercession. In missions, there's a partnership. You couldn't reach the world without the missionaries, and the missionaries couldn't reach the world without you supporting them. So there's a partnership there. And we missionaries need prayer. When you've had 108 major surgeries like I have, and your pain level stays at an 8 or a 9 out of a 10 all the time, and when mine hits a 10, I shake badly and I can't control it. And so I'm always hoping it stays at an 8 or a 9. I'd like it to go down to a 7 or a 6 or a 5, but it just doesn't seem to ever want to do that. And I and my wife, we really need prayer. We travel all over the country. We've traveled 2.7 million miles by car in these 46 years on the road, and another 2.7 miles by air. We've been in all 48 states and Canada. Hadn't got to Alaska or Hawaii yet, but I've been to all the other states preaching and presenting this work, and we've been to over 50 countries, and some of them many times, taking tons and tons, containers filled with the Word of God to help plant churches, help missionaries in evangelistic campaigns and church planting. And it's busy times for us, and missions, we missionaries need your prayers. We just really need your prayers. And we pray for you too. I pray for your pastor. I pray for his precious wife and his family, and pray for you folks. And I hope you'll pray for us as we pray for you. Let me say this about partnership. Partnership is based on humility and grace. Humility. In humility, we say, we can't get the Bible out to the world by ourselves. We can't answer all these requests for 300 million Bibles that we have right now. And growing every day as more missionaries ask for help. And we can't do that by ourselves. We got to have people that love the Word of God enough to have a place in their wallet for it and help get it published to give out. And we give it free to these missionaries and national pastors. We don't charge them anything for it. And to be able to do that, you have to have help. And in humility, we say we can't do it alone. And in grace, we hope others will say, I'll help you. I'll help you. I remember back when I surrendered for Bearing Breast Seed, I was pastoring. We've been in the ministry 51 years, and I was pastoring. And an evangelist came, and he asked me one night, we were having a great meeting that went on for 6 months of after the evangelist left. We had revival, and he said, could I introduce something on Saturday night that you might be interested in? I said, sure. God's using you. Go ahead. And he presented the Bearing Precious Seed work and talked about Dr. Don Frazier. And we took it on. We got so burdened for getting out the Bible. And then he sent money for me to come to a Bearing Prestige seminar. And I went to the seminar to meet Louisiana down in the bayou in the swampy area and muggy and hotter than it is here. And you felt like a grease ball down there all the time. But on a Wednesday night at Bible Baptist Church, Dr. Frazier was preaching, and we had all come from the Camp Greenwood where we were staying to the church that night. And he had been teaching on Bearing Prestige, but that night he preached, and they had wider steps than this, and he got on his knees, and he crawled down the steps. He's a big 6'4", dignified man, just really dressed nice, and come down on his knees, and I'm about halfway back, my family and I, my wife and three kids. And he came there, and he laid his head in my lap, and he grabbed me, and he said, Brother Ford, I can't do this by myself. I can't get the Bible out all over the world by myself. I've given everything I've got. And he had given up all his millions, left his company, and was going from place to place trying to raise money for Bibles because he'd spent everything he had, living in a little rundown trailer with his wife and two daughters. And he wet my lap like crazy, just weeping, saying, I can't do it by myself. I got to have help. And I was hoping it dried before the service was over because I'd looked pretty bad there with my lap all wet. But anyway, he went back to the pulpit. And after the service, my wife said, Honey, we had just been called by a church, 100%, that ran over 500 in Hiawassee, Georgia, and had a big, huge 5,000 square foot parsonage and had walk-in closets bigger than our bedroom. And they put in they had a 3-acre pond out back with a boat called Visitation. I could go out on Visitation and fish. And they put in 3 acres of crops and canned it for us, would have canned it for us. And when my wife heard about it, she said, you pray, I'll pack. After we heard Dr. Frazier, she said, I think God wants us in the Bearing Press seed work. I said, are you kidding? And she said, no. And then my son, Brian, who's a pastor now, said, Dad, I think God wants us in this work too. And my little girl, Kimberly, said, Dad, I do too. And little Stephen, he's 3 years old. He said, Dad, we're going to be baptized. And I said, well, I don't know if we can be bearing precious seed, but we could bear the precious seed if God leads us. But I'm not letting some emotional man cry tears all over me and get me in a ministry. It's got to be God. But before the week was out, I knew it was the Lord. And we have been in bearing precious seed ever since. And I tell you, just like Brother Frazier said, I can't do this alone. I got to have help. We've got to have help. Now, could I say this? Number one, those asking for partnership were already involved in the project through the leadership of Jesus and were enjoying a measure of success. Why would joining Peter be hard? He was already visibly successful. He was working out of obedience. He got progressively involved. And some people have to get involved in the little. Jesus said, thrust out from the land a little. And sometimes you have to do that before you go get out into the deep. I remember when we started in our faith promise giving, we were giving $5 a week. And then we got in Milford, and Dr. Charles Keene was pastor for 30-something years there before he went into the Bearing Precious Seed work in First Bible International. And Dr. Keene preached on faith promise. And now we give 60% of our gross income and live on 40. I'm glad he's not pastor anymore because... I don't know if we'd have anything left. But anyway, we don't know how that works, but God makes it work. And so we got involved in the little before we got involved out into the deep. And so Peter was progressively involved. And he possessed a degree of skill. He was a fisherman. That was his profession. And Jesus was blessing the project. You couldn't miss that. And those Peter beckoned to for help could be assured of a return on their investment and their involvement. He was asking them to help him do more of what he was asked to do and obeyed. And success is always multiplied with help. Let me say number two, the request for partnership was the men of like-mindedness. One fisherman was beckoning to another fisherman for help. They were from the same background. They had the same equipment. They were in the same sea. They were at the same time in history. They had the same goals, and they had the same experiences. Now you think about it. In the Christian life, we missionaries are fishermen beckoning hope to other fishermen for help. We have the same background. We've all been sinners. And we have the same experiences. If you've been saved, you've been saved by grace through faith. You repented of your sins. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And you trusted him. You didn't trust religion. You didn't trust a church. You didn't trust a preacher. You trusted a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose again to justify you from your sins. So we have the same experiences. We are at the same time in history. We have the same equipment. We have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the local church. We have the same goals, to reach a world for Christ, to see people saved and growing in Christ. And we're in the same sea of humanity. We are fundamental Baptists, beckoning to fundamental independent Baptists, asking for partnership for help. We have no doctrinal differences to divide us, and we have a common cause that can unite us, a mutual responsibility to get God's word to the world. And let me say this, the partnership is with Jesus. It's with Jesus. He was the one asking for them to do, and they were obedient to him with what he had asked them to do. And when they let down the nets, they had no idea what God could do. And it's amazing to me. I've seen miracle after miracle that God can do. And so the request for partnership was a man of like-mindedness. And then the partnership was needed right now. There was an urgency in Peter's voice. Peter's plea was now. Now the fish were running. Now when the nets were breaking. And he needed help immediately. Now is when Jesus was present. Now is when Jesus was working. You know, timing is so important in the work of God. Israel missed Canaan by one day and wandered around 40 years in the desert. The five virgins went in, five didn't get in. The door was shut because of their slothfulness and waiting around. Eastern Europe opened up. The Iron Curtain fell. And when that happened, the Jehovah Witnesses sent in 10,000 missionaries and tons of literature. The Mormons sent in 20,000 missionaries and literature. We fundamental Baptists have 265 missionaries in these countries now. We weren't ready. We were surprised, but the cults weren't. They were ready. And I remember a time, Pastor Holland, when I preached in places and people came forward to surrender to preach, came forward to surrender to be missionaries, came forward in droves to do the work of God. And now, it's like people just don't care anymore. Oh, you have some. I was in a church in Virginia. We had 12 young people, older teenagers, 18, 19, 20, and 20. Weren't teenagers at that age, but they surrendered. And then had two young couples in their early 40s surrender to be missionaries. And then two young men in their 20s, single young men, college age, that surrendered. But you don't see that everywhere anymore. I have a big offering plate. It's not for money. It's for people. And it's huge. And two people of any size can get in it. And and I have had a family of five get in it, and the kids stood on the lip of it, which scared me. I was hoping it wouldn't break. But I try to get just two to get in it if they're going to get in it, or one if they're coming as a single. But I first used it at Highland Park in Chattanooga, and 330 people got in it. 331 people got in it and gave themselves for full-time missionary service. Over the years, 8,000 have got in that offering plate and give themselves for missionary service. But there's a partnership that is needed. There's an urgency. The world is going to hell. And Thomasville and the surrounding areas need you to partner with your pastor and to partner with Jesus to reach Thomasville. There's got to be a partnership, working together, praying together, burdened together to reach your area and to reach the world that you care about and the missionaries that you support to help. Partnership, there's an urgency. Nike pays Jordan $13 million to advertise their shoes. Hanes pays Jordan $10 million to advertise their underwear. I think your mission program and reaching your area is more important than underwear and shoes. I think it's more important to get out the Word of God than for underwear and shoes. And let me say, number four, partnership was needed, though Jesus was already present. Can I say this? In some areas, Jesus is not enough. Doesn't that sound like heresy to say Jesus is not enough? Jesus is enough in salvation. He's enough in separation. He's enough in sanctification. He's enough in glorification. He's enough in every area you can think of. But in functional areas, God uses people. And God wants to use you. I don't know why he took a little country Georgia boy like me, a nobody, a big zero, and called me to preach. Missionary from Brazil preached one night on God's call to preach. Brother Jimmy Rose, he just went to heaven last week. He was a hero of mine. And I surrendered to preach. The next night he preached on God's call to prepare. And I surrendered to prepare. He graduated from Bob Jones, but he said, you need to go to Tennessee Temple and sit under Dr. Lee Robertson and be at that school. So I followed his advice, and I went to Tennessee Temple, and I'm glad I did. But Brother Jimmy, he said, you need to get going now. In my first year, our pastor there at Calvary Baptist in Jackson, South Carolina, had a missionary every other week. 26 missionaries out of 52 weeks. He preached, but then he'd have a missionary. I surrendered for 26 mission fields. When I got to Tennessee Temple, they had missionaries running out their ears everywhere. They'd have 100 of them in a mission conference, as you well know. And I surrendered for every one that was ever presented. And one day, Dr. Lee Robertson said, let me deal with him. And it scared me to death, Brother Gary. And he said, son, are you confused? He said, you're like a termite in a yo-yo, you know. I said, I don't think I am. Why? He said, son, you can't go to all those countries. He said, you've surrendered for 77 so far since you've been here. I said, I surrendered for 26 more before I got here. He said, well, son, you must need to go pastor and take on missionaries. So you go start a church and take on missionaries. So I went and helped start a church, and we started taking on missionaries. But during that time when I had an evangelist in and he presented Bearing Precious Seed, God showed me the reason he had me surrender for all those countries is because he wanted me to get the Word of God in there. He wanted me to have a part in that. And God doesn't make any mistakes. And I agreed with my Lord Jesus that I'd partner with him to get God's Word to the world. And I don't know why he'd call somebody like me. I'm a big nobody, but he's a somebody. And I sure enjoy serving somebody, though I'm a nobody. And partnership was needed, though Jesus was present. He ordered the project. He was in the project, but he used people to get the project done. Could I say this lastly? Partnership is based on the value of the project, not the greatness of the man leading it. Who knows why God chose Peter to head up the project? There's no evidence that he had a bigger or better boat. There's no evidence that he's a better fisherman. I mean, he toiled all the night and had taken nothing. Why God in his sovereignty chose Dr. Charles Keene and Dr. Don Frazier to start it and burden Dr. Keene to become the first printing church, I don't know why he chose them, but God in his sovereignty did. And now we have the largest presses and a great ministry, but we need help. God in his sovereignty has chosen us to do this. God in his sovereignty has chosen your church to partner with us. And we're so glad you have. Thank you for supporting our family and our ministry monthly. We can't thank you enough. But partnership is needed to reach Thomasville. You need to partner together. Partnership is needed to reach this world. Can I say this? Prayer is needed. My greatest prayer warrior is a little fellow this high. His name is Paul Thomas. Do you remember Ab Thomas? Yes. Ab was the youth director at Tennessee Temple and Highland Park Baptist Church. Ab has a Down syndrome son named Paul. He has two other sons that are in the ministry, but he has Paul. Paul is unique. I mean, he helps take up the offering on Sunday night. He works in Sunday school. He works in junior church. And Paul loves me. And Paul prays for me. His dad said, did you know Paul prays for you more than anybody? More than he prays for us? He said he prays for you at morning devotions. He prays for you at breakfast. He prays for you at lunch. He prays for you at supper. He prays for you in evening devotions. In Sunday school, he has them pray for you. In junior church, he has them pray for you. He said anywhere he goes, he asks them to pray for you. He said at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship, when he preached there not too long ago, he asked them to pray for you. And I don't know why Paul's got me on the brain, but he's my prayer warrior. And one reason I can keep going is because of people like Paul. Paul loves me, and I love Paul, and I pray for him and his family all the time. And Ab's been our church 25 years now and got that tremendous ministry that he has of working with youth around the world. And he's written all kind of books on it to help churches with their Sunday school and everything else, and it's wonderful. But Down syndrome kids are unique. And one year, I was watching the Olympics, Special Olympics. Now, these are the people that have all kinds of physical limitations. And in this one race in the Olympics, these older teenagers were all lined up to race. And they were at the line, they're down. And if you know anything about Down syndrome kids, they're precious. You can't help but love them. And they love you back. But anyway, they were all lined up to run. And when they don't run like us. They run better than I do probably now. But anyway, they have limitations in their running. But when that gun went off, they went running around that track. And about halfway around, one of the young men fell. And if that was the regular Olympics, the other runners would have been happy as they could be, especially if that was the one that was probably going to win it, because he would no longer be a problem. But what those Down syndrome kids did, the one that fell started crying. All eight of the other ones, nine of them altogether, all eight of them stopped. They went back. They helped that young man up. And then they all held hands and ran to the finish line together, and all nine of them came in first place. That's what I'm talking about here today. A partnership where you hold hands and you run together in the Lord's race for his honor and his glory and for the furtherance of the gospel, getting the gospel around the world. Partnership caused a great return in conclusion. In verse 7, the partnership caused a great return in fish, the ships, both of them sinking. And then it gave a fresh revelation to Peter. He said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He saw himself as he really was. He took inventory, and he realized that he wasn't what he ought to be. And then there was a forsaking and a following in verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What we're trying to get you to do today is partner with Jesus and to forsake all and follow him. He's worth it. And I wonder, who would come today as the pastor gives invitation and say, I'll follow Jesus. I'll partner with the Lord. I'm not going to just sit on my rump and do nothing. I'm going to partner with my Lord.